We're recording now. I didn't want to start the recording when I was boring everybody with the book cover, by the way. So that's my rationalization. And ladies and gentlemen, try to get through a day without rationalizing. Good luck with that one. Thank you, Billy. And I don't know, my sound's working. Is everybody else sound? Can you hear?
I can now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I switched my microphone.
Okay.
So sometimes it's a long story, but I bought a new brand new, very expensive computer that's sitting there that I'm just too lazy to put everything on the new computer and start using it. So, cause it's Windows 10 and anyway. So see, that's a belief, you know,
true.
All right. So anyway, Miss Lisa was
going to. You can live with Windows 10. You can live with Windows 10.
Yeah, I played on that computer. It's really kind. It's kind of like using my Mac. It's kind of easy. All right. So, Miss Lisa.
Okay. So, I didn't really even like think about beliefs until I went to your training, that 21-day training. I didn't really think. I just thought beliefs were really just set in stone. I never even really thought about them. But since I went through that program and I changed so many of my beliefs in that program, I have found that I question every single thing now. So I love it. And I have been doing like a monthly challenge, like with my clients every single month. So every single story that I had, I'm breaking down and rewriting it. Like I used to say, I'm not a morning person. I only function at night. Okay, well, that's not true. Now I'm the exact opposite. You know, I used to say, I don't drink water. I hate water. So I challenged myself to drink 105 ounces a day. So it's actually, it's crazy how much, you know, I honestly held those beliefs and I believed those beliefs. And now it's almost like a game because we can change anything. It's just a little story that we tell ourselves. And thank you, Dr. Horton, for opening up my 62-year-old eyes and teaching me that because I didn't think that we could change them.
Okay. And if people want, they could share a belief they changed that I'll share. One was I've been doing theater for 30X years. I don't want to say, but when I would do a musical, I would never sing, right? I would always be the comic, or I was a very good dancer. So I'd be a lead dancer, whatever, I couldn't sing because I had a belief installed in me when I was quite young that I couldn't sing. I was tone deaf, right? And so then I started taking it. That was a belief I had to shift. And now I've done, you know, musicals and things like that. And it wasn't it was not an NLP person. It was not anybody trained in our skills that got me to change. It was a guy who was in Phantom of the Opera and he was an opera singer at the Met and in Europe. And he was doing some vocal coaching on a play I was in, but I wasn't singing in that play. And we started talking. And he's the one that flipped my beliefs pretty quick, you know? And what it was is he goes, Will, you're not tone deaf. You don't know how to hear notes. And once you can hear notes, then you can, he goes, you got a nice speaking voice. You're a professional. I'm pretty sure you could do it. It took a year, but you know, I can, and I knew it because I was in the audience of a show. And I can tell when the people are either, I can't tell if they're sharp or flat. I just know if they're not on note, right? So anyway, that's a belief I had to shift. And now I'm working on my current challenge is learning Spanish. So, because my belief is I'm too old. Yeah. So working on that, I'll admit it, all right. So who would like to share next on beliefs, a little bit about them and things like that? Dr. Bob.
Yeah, I love the stories in this particular regarding age that we can't change, or even other people's perception of when we get to be a certain age that we can't change, or even certain kind of careers that we have. So years ago, I went to one of my clients' weddings, And he's from South Korea. I went there. His father came over. And so during the reception, his father started looking around. And then I was out there on the floor dancing. Then I started doing some breakdancing moves. And and his father asked, "Who is that guy?" And Curtis said, "That's my coach. That's Dr. Bob Choate." So here I am, this much older guy, doing breakdancing and also do parkour. And I had to learn to shift the way we look at older people and what we can and can't do. Yes, we're going to have certain breakdowns, but even like with me doing parkour, going over obstacles off of buildings and everything like that, I had to challenge my own beliefs about myself and what I can't and can't do. And a lot of that stemmed from using hypnosis and some NLP techniques and everything, and just going out there and doing it. Even after I had a major parkour fail, it was only fail, it was feedback, and then I got back up and started doing it again. So, and still doing it at 69. So, but I had to have that shift. Now, regarding beliefs, because I just read an article of this guy, he spent all his money, all his savings on a 2015 Lamborghini. Now he's doing a crowdfunding to have it upgraded. So I just wonder, Will, what's your thoughts on that person's beliefs and the people that may contribute $100,000 to him?
Well, my first response is fucking great for him. You know? What good is it to die with money in the bank has always been my attitude. That may not be healthy, but, you know.
They'll do it. They'll contribute to him because look at the Kardashians, that one young one. And I am not a follower or a fan. I just remember hearing that the young one decided she wanted to be the youngest billionaire in the world. And so she asked her followers, "Give me money." And they did. And then she got to be the youngest billionaire in the world. And I was like, I too, Dr. Will, this is the shift I would like today. I would like to be the first.
Well, it proves, you know,
redhead billionaire.
You can make it with no talent, ability, or appreciable skills.
Right.
I'm sorry, I have my own opinion about that. Yeah.
But cool. They'll do it. It's that group think. Yeah. And I don't know how those Kardashians, well, I mean, I know how it started, but I don't know how they harness that group think so powerfully.
Well, cool. All right. What about Billy? What do you think about beliefs?
I'm not sure. Am I coming across? My internet is very unstable right now.
Oh. Yes. Is it your internet or is it the operator that's unstable?
I'm probably more stable than the stable genius that's running the show right now. But enough for talking about religion or politics for today. Beliefs, very intriguing. It gets down to really probably how you've experienced that culturally. I know from working with you over the years, but also the fact that I've just retired from this military industrial complex that pervades a large segment of our society here, that it's difficult times to believe that there's certainty and a great deal of things. Beliefs are kind of like the tide here in the DC area. That's talking about things that you may think may be fundamental and absolute. But to really let my hair down, since you started with this bald joke, today, I'll do that you know, Mark, this is one of the few times I come out from behind the curtain here as having been educated as a hardcore scientist. You get down to some very fundamental questions about what is real, how you sense that, and then how our psychology, our brain and mind perceive that and use it. There's some very fundamental questions. The best answer I've heard recently is there's a new book out by Donald Hoffman that really talks about just how your senses deceive you. That when you really are looking out on the world, you know, we're limited to a very narrow range, if you just talk about vision, of the electromagnetic spectrum of visual light and how that interacts with what's real out there in the world. And then we build a mental model of that in our own mind. When you get into the physics end of it, there's some very fundamental questions that still have to be answered. But nonetheless, our biology has evolved to make these assumptions about the world we have so that we can interact. And what you've devoted your career to in NLP is that you can come up with some basic, some generalities, some rules that we can use to guide us in how that biology interacts with the world and how we interact with one another. And for the most part, they work well, but there may be sometimes some exceptions. So my view of looking at beliefs is maybe a little broader and sometimes nuanced in ways that a psychologist may not, because as you know, and I'll confess, one of the things you do when you write academic papers today is you define your variables and you also fully identify your biases. But I started out in life as a hardcore physical chemist, and my last degree I got was in psych. I've covered the waterfront here, so boss, you can take this little diatribe direction you want right now.
Okay, cool. John, Dr. J, unmute.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha. So I've changed a lot of my beliefs, right? I've changed one for money, changed one from race, and I changed one from stuttering. A belief to me is a feeling of certainty. And the feeling of certainty part is if you take a table leg and each leg have its references. So if I would say bald head men are sexy, because I think they're really damn sexy, to be truly honest with you, right? And now if I would say they got to be 6'6", they drive an SUV, they do NLP, and they're smart as hell, to me they're sexy because that's the feeling of certainty, right? So, hey, doc, this is my story now, so I'm sticking to it, right? So the first thing that I had to overcome is the race. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and that's where I met Dr. Will back in 1995. I had to overcome all that stuff, and I had to, and then I overcame it because I changed my core references. As my old one was, if I was black and X, Y, Z, and I made up all these damn excuses. Because that's what you hear and see on the news, especially right now, it is on the media, right? But I focus on strengths part. I focus on my work ethic. I focused on my education. I focused on my experience. And I focused on that I could do X, Y, and Z. The stuttering thing was really a challenging thing when I was a kid. I couldn't really even say my name or anything else like that. And the way that I overcame it is my mother said it, your father stuttered. And he overcame it. Those are the only damn words that I ever heard. I'm like, if he overcame it, so in hell can I, right? And I did whatever it took. I went through prayer, which it worked, but it didn't work as fast, right? I went through literally every aspect. And one day I was at 28 years old. I went to see Tony Robbins, and I stood up to the audience, and he beat the hell out of me. But the next day, everything was fine. But I had to reframe my stuttering. what I said is, I do stutter at times because I'm a damn genius. And there's so much stuff that's coming through me right now, and I'm trying to pick it up, and sometimes it did, but I'm a genius part. So I had to reframe it. But yeah, so, but a belief to me is a feeling of certainty, and that's all it is. And sometimes we get it from our parents, of our friends, of our coworkers, and we take on their stupid belief systems. Like people say, I can't make money in the COVID. I said, bullshit, you can. I said, if you look at some of these opportunities and figure out of who you are and do whatever it takes, you can make money. But people have so many limited beliefs, it's just amazing. So anyway, I'm done talking. And Dr. Will, bald head men are very sexy.
I'm going to second that there, John.
I'm pretty sure Billy would too, but, you know.
I cannot unmute myself.
No, now you muted yourself.
Yeah, it was just my computer kind of froze there. And John, I can concur with the stuttering part too. So we're both in the same boat.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know why? But you know why we stutter? Because we're a freaking genius. And all of those words are coming through. And, you know, as when you're a genius, have a big head like mine, you have so much stuff coming through, you're trying to pick it out. But what I did find out about people who do stutter, they don't breathe. You know, I have to tell myself to breathe. And a breathing is just a pattern interruption. That's why when they sing, they breathe and they don't stutter, right? But when you're speaking, you're so nervous and you know it's going to come up. So then you stop breathing. You go, and then it stops. But what I have to tell myself, breathe, breathe. Because you guys just breathe normally, right? I have to tell myself to breathe. But that's what I found out.
Cool.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
I'm waiting. How about, I'll pick on somebody. How about Rebecca? Where are you from, Rebecca?
UK, in the countryside. So, I'm not really sure where to start. My own beliefs, I would say knowing what my beliefs are isn't necessarily easy. More aware of how I feel, if that makes sense, and then wondering if they are a belief or not. But I tend to question a lot or have doubts, so I'm generally, I don't feel I'm ever too fixed. I'm always open to, you know, new information. But I've done some training in hypnotherapy in a method called CRT, and that involves asking about beliefs that have resulted from trauma or things that people have experienced. And asking to shift those. So I've definitely noticed from doing that work, I will feel better in certain situations. But I have cystic fibrosis, so I was told by doctors about, you know, what my lifespan would be. And definitely that's probably the biggest challenge, is staying, you know, not being in that fearful state if I'm unwell, and trying to undo those kind of certainties of how your life's supposed to go. That's what I've got to say, I guess.
Okay, cool. All right.
Thank you for sharing. Pardon me for chiming in again. Your perspective, now that I've just retired in the last couple months, and one starts to look at the calendar now and realize I've had more weekends than I'm going to have. And your mind starts to look at, you know, what does your life represent? What do you still want to do? What can you still contribute? dear lady, what you're sharing, I'm just now beginning to realize past 60, but having to confront that now at your age, thank you very much for your courage in sharing. And forgive me for chiming in, but it's I'm trying to encourage Dr. Will, because we talk about growing old here every once in a while, and even some longevity products that we're looking at now, because we realize, as I said, the calendar is on the we're on the short end now. Dear lady, thank you so much.
Pleasure. For me, I think the helpful thing is always finding a purpose or something as well. And also hope, like my parents followed what was said, because it's easier to go with reality of what to expect and not be disappointed if it, you know, if you have too much hope and then become disappointed. So I feel like, you know, not having my parents to encourage me that actually, you know, you can be different or in some way. So no, it is, but I definitely recognize that everyone, you start to, and my mum's starting to do it. She feels like she's reaching an age where she's starting to talk about, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll have planting beds up higher because when I won't be able to get down to the floor as easily when I'm older, or I won't be able to do this when I'm, and I'm like, and I try and challenge her, but she's very fixed on it. And then I don't know whether, oh, am I denying the age process? So it is, I wouldn't say it's not an easy topic for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think if we could teach people something early, that would be great, is the idea about like what was being said about beliefs, or it's more of a sense of certainty. It's neither right nor wrong. We all have different beliefs and they do change. We act like our beliefs don't change, but our beliefs can change and morph and do this and that. And then I'll open it up. But thinking this morning, it's like when a baby's learning to walk, do we put a set time on how long they have to walk? You know, at 3 months, you go, okay, he's an idiot, he's never walking, you know, whatever. No, it's like they keep going. And if you ever seen, we can't remember it because our neurology wasn't there yet, but as a parent especially, or when you're around, you ever watch a baby, especially around that, after they can walk some, right, but they're still struggling, and they'll be trying to walk, and they fall, and then they look around. And if nobody saw them, they just get up and keep walking. But if somebody saw them, they'll judge the situation and maybe they'll start crying, you know. But if they judge, they look, there's mommy and you just fell, and the mom laughs and doesn't pay any attention, kid gets up, dusts himself off and keeps going, right? And that's when their neurology is being formed, you know. How do you accept a challenge, a setback, a struggle, right? And that's important before we even have words. It's like, I like that guy who says, you can't describe the undescribable. You can't put words to things that when you experienced them, you didn't have words. So you're trying to, you know, then it's that, it to me, that's pretty, you know, interesting. And for Miss Rebecca, just always remember, they call it practicing medicine because they're always wrong, eventually. You know, what was the guy's name? The one that's, they threw him out of the medicine because he tried to argue that to the doctors to wash your hands. It was an Austrian physician.
Semmelweis.
I knew Billy would know. I couldn't think of his name, Semmelweis. Right? Because he it was before the germ theory, right? But they threw him out of the medical world because he was a heretic. You don't have to wash your hands, and doctors would go from surgery to surgery to surgery. So, And my last thing, and then I'll open it back up, is one of my favorite sayings from one of the Star Trek episodes is you can do absolutely everything right and still lose. That's called being human. You know, because I think we have this idea, well, if I do this, this, and this, it's going to work. But you could do this, this, and this, and it's, for some reason, it still doesn't work. How many of us had a great setup in January of 2020, going into February of what this year was going to be. You know, I had 12 trainings set up, I had shows, 2 movies, and I did everything right. So anyway, Bob, you were going to say something?
Yes, back to Rebecca and your parents regarding age. One thing I learned, not at my age now, but I learned from my uncle in Japan, my uncle Keiji. And after he left the advertising industry, he was actually the top advertising artist in Japan. And he transitioned into a new career in terms of writing and lecturing. So he started doing that. And then he went back to his martial arts training. And today he just turned 106 and practices both kendo and judo. Not the hardcore judo like he did before, but he still practices that. And then also he has added in tai chi as well. But he's still going at it. And he doesn't let age stop him. He just says, you know, I'm just going to do what I can do and just go for it, because it's keeping him really young. I had a great aunt who was my uncle and my mom's aunt in Japan, and she lived 115. Because she kept going. She challenged what here in the Western world we would consider, like, when you get to be a certain age, you can't do this kind of stuff. But they didn't have that. And it could be a cultural thing as well. But they didn't look at age as a defining factor that's going to stop them from doing new things. So
yeah, well, age is only a number.
Yeah, well,
it only is.
Billy and I talked about when we talked about, like, longevity and living longer and all that, that a lot of times the researchers, when they start studying what they call blue zones, where people live longer, they'll look at the diet. And then it'll be like, you got to eat this yogurt, because these freaking Russians eat this yogurt, right? But they don't tell you too. They're still working in the fields in their 80s. It's just what they do. So it's the whole, what do you call it? The whole integrity of the person.
It's the whole package. It's the culture, as well as these dietary and other medical practices. The worldview accepts the aged, and they're productive members of society until the very.
You know, I think it's. I really think it's mindset. It's literally all about mindset. When I was 28, I used to always say, I'm 28 years young. 28 years young. I've been saying that now for 20 some odd years. I still look like I'm 28 years old. I haven't literally aged except for I shaved my head. That's, and of course, by choice, Doc, because I'm sexy. Well, anyway, I look the exact same way. But it's all about mindset, right? And I see people say, you know, John, you're 56. You're old. I said it. There's nothing old about me at all, because I'm just like fine wine, and fine wine is priceless. Can you imagine having a 1964 wine? It's priceless, man. And you call me old? You know, you must be kidding me. Really? There's no way, Meg.
And then, like Billy said, some of it's cultural, because in some of the subcultures in America, what's the saying? Black don't crack.
Yes, they.
Wrinkle has to do with melanin and all this other stuff. But it's like. And if you grow up thinking that, it's like, you know,
it's all a belief. I agree.
Yes. I was in a play. I got to tell this story, then I'll shut up, I promise. I was in a play. I came in at the last minute to help the guy that was directing it as a favor, because he lost the guy doing dancing, and real athletic shoulder rolls, picking people up. It was a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. And he asked, would I do it? And I said, sure, because A, they paid me. I take money, you know, and B, I only had 8 rehearsals before the show started. So I didn't have to go through the whole rehearsal period, because I'm arrogant. And what was great is I'm doing these shoulder rolls, picking these people up. And this is like 6-7 years ago. And one of the guys in the play, one of the other, he was the lead. I was just doing the dancing. He goes, well, son, but when you get to be my age, and he kept saying that, because I'm doing these shoulder rolls. And I was like old enough to be the grandfather of the other dancers. And anyway, one day he says that, and I go, excuse my language, how the fuck old are you, by the way, right? And he goes, he told me his age, and I looked, and I go, actually, I'm older than you. You know, the difference is you're just fat and lazy. I mean, you know, you want
to. Oh, my God.
And he looked at me, and anyway, so I thought it was funny, you know. I'm not always known for my tact. But, yeah.
So, John, you talked about mindset. Has anybody read a study or the book by Dr. Ellen Langer?
Oh, yeah. Counterclockwise.
Counterclockwise, yes. Yes. Where she talks about her research that she did, the 1979 one, where she brought guys back to 20 years earlier. See, these are elderly gentlemen. So she had a control group and an experimental group. And she brought them back to an environment that was 1959. And so the control group, they went back, but they still had the clothes and everything of 1979. Then the experimental group, they were in the environment, clothes, money, magazines, newspapers, what was playing on the radio, TV and everything, as if it was that time period. And these were older guys that had issues with arthritis, osteoporosis, and a whole amount of health issues. So she also did the blood test to get the numbers before they went and after they went back. And after about a week of being there, both groups actually shifted. Both groups had gotten rid of a lot of the inflammation, everything in their body, and they started feeling younger. But their experimental group really changed. The ones that had like arthritis, their fingers lengthened, they got taller. Their numbers, their blood work, from like the diabetes numbers, everything just fell. I mean, so in essence, they age backwards after that mindset shift, after just a week, and it stayed with them 4 months later. So yeah, absolutely up here. And that's the reason, like my Uncle Keiji, same way. He had that mindset of he's still very productive. And Will, you mentioned Blue Zones, and the people of Okinawa, they have a sense of purpose. And they keep going at it. It's not just a diet. It's not all these other things. But they get up in the morning with the belief that they have, that they're productive. They can keep going, as Billy said. So.
Right.
You're absolutely right about that. I've been to Japan about 40-some-odd times. I stayed there many times, and you're absolutely right. The culture is completely different. Their mindset is different. Even like the older people, even when they go to the store, they dress up, they look tremendously. I mean, I'm looking at these women, I'm like, you guys are dressing up just to go to the store. It's just a culture wise and what they eat, but they do exercise, they walk, they have this young sense of, yes, I might be 80, but I can still walk 5-10 miles a day. It's just their rituals of that they actually have. The sad thing about it is we don't adopt these same as rituals in the States. When we get past, when most men get a family at 40 to 50, they stop living. Then they get 20,000 pounds heavier, and then they say, oh my God, my life is so hard. I'm like, well, do you work out? Do you train? Do you do anything? Well, no, I'm too old. Oh my God. So it gets me sick.
Billy.
This is Billy chiming in again. I wanted to thank Dr. Bob for sharing. That particular study is phenomenal and shows, and it identifies something that's not been investigated as much in that aging context. It's what some neurophysiologists, I believe, have referred to as state-dependent memory. When you can immerse yourself into all the visual, auditory, and even kinesthetic stimulation of that former era, those people, those aged men, largely from what I read, it was aged men, were rejuvenated, and they were wanting to slip into their leisure suits and go out on a good Saturday night liberty. The idea of state-dependent memory, that to my chagrin has largely been investigated in terms of, and one of your specialties, Dr. Will, drug addiction. People who routinely have been taking whatever their drug of choice, usually it's an opioid, in their normal environs, they have to increase the dosage in order to achieve the same effect. But then they go out of town to visit family, or they have to travel on business. They're in another environment, completely foreign environment, take the same dosage, and it becomes an overdose, and in many cases results in a death. And that's because the environment, their physiology is learning how to accept this in a whole new way. But being able to use that understanding of state-dependent memory in a way that keeps us active and viable is something I've read that study in my academic years, but now I'm grateful to Doug for bringing it back. It's something I'm going to go back and dust off.
Yeah, because if you ever heard, and Rebecca, you're young, but it's happened to you. You ever heard a song from like when you were in high school, but a song that they don't play all the time on the radio, you know, because when they play oldies, it's always the same goddamn songs over and over again. Those of us that matured in the 60s and 70s, it's always the freaking Beatles, the Stones, and the Temptations, right? But when you hear a song that you hear rarely, if ever, do you get a flood of memories, right? And brings, and I'll bet you it changes your physiology. I always talk about, I was driving back from the National Guild of Hypnotists Conference, and it was second week, it was in August, it was everything was perfect. I'm driving my car, it's like that kind of weather here in the States in 80, and they were doing a Casey Kasem Top 40 flashback, for those of us in the States that remember that. And it was all these songs from going into my senior year in high school. And it was the songs I never listened to. And when I stopped the truck, as I was driving, I jumped out of the truck, ran up the hill, went to the bathroom, got a Diet Coke. I'm bouncing around. When usually when I get out of the truck after driving for 6 hours, you know, because of the knee surgeries and the hips are, but it was like, and all I was thinking about was all those guys from high school playing football, because it would have been a time we'd be in football camp. It was football weather, right? And it's that state-dependent learning, right? And so, yeah, I think we could, you know, and those of us that do hypnosis, that's an instant regression, right? Without all this fancy bull crap of 5-path, 7-path, 27-path, you know, margarita path, whatever you're on. But we do it naturally. Cool. How about Dr. B? Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes. So I work a lot with beliefs, especially with my actors, my clients. The one thing I've said is never say you're a starving artist. Don't describe yourself as a starving artist, because that means that you're, you know, that kind of sends a message to your subconscious, you're not going to be working. Also, another thing that I really tell actors never to use, never say you're an aspiring actor, because that means that you're not really an actor. You're just trying to be one. So I said, no, you're a working actor. And yeah, I think beliefs are very, very powerful. You know, and I think, you know, even with my whole thing is like, you know, being in my, you know, early 40s now, I kind of thought with the whole idea of fitness initially in the beginning of the summer, it was like, oh, you know, I can't really get in shape. You know, I'm not going to be able to keep up with anybody, you know, in the videos. And then seeing Billy Blanks, who is, you know, over 20 years older than I am, being able to, you know, just really, you know, do it day in and day out. So that really kind of, you know, shifted in my thing. Like, okay, you know, I can. You know, so, and now, like I said, I am becoming really interested now in longevity research because of, you know, my shift in health, you know, since the pandemic was, you know, really focusing on, you know, not just losing weight, but also, I want to become healthier. So what's the, you know, what are my, what beliefs can I do? So I started like, you know, started doing some research into like a lot of, you know, I'm going to look at the St. Clair, you know, the author that was mentioned here. I'm also going to look at the other, you know, like what they call biohackers to kind of see what I can do to really, you know, make this not necessarily decline, but this part of my life, like really increase. And I think it's possible. Strongly believe it's possible.
Thank you, Dr. B. Dr. B is a psychologist as well as a big agent in New York for theatrical guys. In fact, he's part of a group. NFNLP is going to steal something from the Working Actor Studio, because what they do at the studio he's associated with, I dropped in on some class, I like it, and but they say all the actors that study here for a year book jobs. That's why it's called the Working Actor Studio, and they're installing these beliefs, right? Sometimes knowing this can screw up my learning, by the way, but I'm sitting there going, damn, we're going to start doing that with NFNLP. People that take our training and are consistently doing it for a year become a working therapist. Because if you understand the NLP and the hypnosis world, Billy, Dr. Bob, Albert, Lisa, I could go down the list, Pam, big in the guild. How many people do you think really become working hypnotists that take a hypnosis training?
A fraction of them.
A fraction. Yeah, very low. Low, I would say almost single digits. If it's double digits, it's low, right? And some of that's fine because people are taking a hypnosis class just because they like hypnosis. They don't, you know, they don't want to become a hypnotist. They just like hypnosis. But even the ones that come in for a profession, they don't do it. So NFNLP is the working therapist group.
Hey.
You know, I borrowed that from Working Actors Studio.
And Dr. B. Albert, you are an athlete already inside that's yearning to come out, aren't you?
I am. You're right.
And did you see that, like, Billy Blanks, in one of his new videos, it showed with his shirt off, he's 66, I think, or 67. And since the pandemic, it showed he's lost all this weight and he's got his six-pack back at whatever age. And I know he's older than me. And it's like... So it's kind of interesting.
Chuck Norris too.
Yeah, he's dropped weight, you know, while he's doing it, you know.
In his 70s, I think.
He's probably up in there. Yeah. So.
Yep. Don't let age stop you from being able to do that. Mm-hmm. And you think your body's supposed to look a certain way once you get to a certain age.
Mm-mm.
Don't. I keep challenging myself and I'm just about back with my six pack as well. So I want to be fitter next year when I hit 70 than I was when I was 50 or when I was 40. So.
Well, my goal is my birthday's October. I want to take a video of me doing a kata, right?
Oh, nice.
We could work out there. And mainly that's to overcome my Achilles thing. But so that's, you know, so I'm going to, so. Oh, and by the way, if you guys want to binge watch a really good show on Netflix, Cobra Kai Season 2. It's the continuation of The Karate Kid. They had Season 1 a couple years ago, Season 2. I wasn't going to watch it, and I watched all 10 episodes in a day, so... I got to go back to work later.
Wow.
Well, they're short videos. They're like 20, they're like 30 minutes. It's like a short. It's not hours, but it was pretty good. Cool. All right. Anyone else got something on? Hey, here's my, the what I use to try to help people flip their beliefs. This one works for me. And my big saying lately is, I always look for what's a naturally occurring phenomenon that we see in the real world that we can adapt, right? So how do people change beliefs? And I call it the flip technique. I used to call it, used to be true and now it's not, but now I call it the flip technique, which is, you know, it's going to flip a space in your mind, because we all have those things that used to be true and now is not, correct? We all have those. And usually I'd say, you know, like when you were a little kid, you believed in Santa Claus. Did you believe in Santa Claus when you were 4 or 5? Probably, right? Most people did. If not, I'll find something. But so let's say you believe in Santa Claus. And then one day you stop believing. You didn't get mad. You didn't go back and, you know, kick your dad in the nuts and slap your mom for lying to you for 4 years to keep you in line. So, you know, at Christmas you'd be good. No, you were like, you found out it wasn't true and that's fine. It's still a cute idea. It's no big deal. You didn't, and there's no guilt, no shame, no remorse about changing that belief. That's why I picked that one. And so when you think about like Santa Claus, it's in a different spot in your mind. And then you have other things that used to be true and now is not, you know, whatever it was, you used to live somewhere and now you live somewhere else. You know, Albert used to live in New Jersey and New York. Currently he's living in North Carolina, right? So it's just different spots of your mind. No big deal. You know, Billy Schilling, you know, was a Navy captain. And then he became a, worked for something with the military industrial complex, as he says. But he used to be a Navy captain, now he's not. So we all have these things. Used to live, you know, I used to live in Indiana, now I live in Florida. Great. So what if when you start thinking about these beliefs, as you start to try to morph them, they go to that part of your mind that's no longer true. It was true before, but it's not true now, right? And so once they begin to move, it begins to shift it in your mind. It's kind of like I actually started thinking about with, as Billy said, with addictions, because I always see people that recover from an addiction, get over it and not drink or drug anymore. They'll usually say things that's like, that's not who I am anymore. It's almost non-judgmental. That's just not who I am. I used to drink, now I don't. I can't deny I didn't drink. Jesus Christ, I've got the jail records to prove it if you want to see them, right? Killeen, Texas, 2 DUIs in 30 days. But it's no longer true for me, right? And so it's in a different spot in my mind. And you get that with other people. Maybe so if you're trying to shift, you can begin to morph whatever they're changing into that's just no longer true for them, right? And they may have to repeat it and do some different steps. I wouldn't say that's a standalone technique, but if you're working with somebody to change, that could be something you do at the end. You know, you start, now keep that, whatever it is, say you're working with a smoker, and a lot of times smokers will tell you one of their beliefs is it's hard to quit. Well, have you ever done something everybody said is hard and found out it wasn't that hard, at least for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever it was. So what if you put your smoking back with that? So it begins to morph it, right? And when you really begin to say, that's not who I am anymore, and it begins to shift those beliefs, right? That's the one I like the most. I do that one a lot, you know? So just thought I'd put that out there. I call it the flip, you're just flipping it in their head. In fact, they did this one with the last smoker I worked with, right? And what I found was he used to be an avowed atheist, and then he became a born again Christian, right? Fine, I put all my personal opinions aside when I'm working with people. I'm like, you really believe? Yeah. Well, you know, what were you like 10 years ago? Oh, I made fun of it. Well, why? I just kept eliciting. Why'd you change? And so then we put his smoking back with his. You know, because smoking is something an atheist would do. Wouldn't you agree? You know, and I remember I watched him do this.
Oh.
Yeah. And probably at that point, I should have said, just give me the money and get out of my house. You know. You know. So. Cool. Well, I would like to thank everybody. I try to keep these short and sweet, these NFNLP forums. Next week, let's continue the talk on this. And think of your favorite belief shifting thing that you do, or what is one you know. And we'll have people share their, what do they do to help people shift their beliefs. So, sound good to everybody?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I'd like to thank you for sharing with me and spending time. This is the NFNLP Forum, the place to go for working therapists.
I like that.
You know,
stand it. And remember, bald head men are sexy. Remember that.
Well, it's the only reason I never liked the one problem I had with Star Trek The Next Generation. They can fly through space, they can transport, but they can't fix male pattern baldness in the 24th century.
They didn't want to because they're sexy. Why would you want to fix something that's working, Doc? Come on, really?
I ain't shaving mine, I tell you that.
No, Doc.
I know you're still recording this. I hate to shatter your conceptions about the future, but by the 24th century, most evolutionary biologists have said we would have shed all of our body hair. So, but I appreciate your feeling of nostalgia since you have a full pate there. But nonetheless, I identify with my other bald compatriots this session.
In the year 2525, we'll be Brazilian from top to bottom, right?
You know, Doc, you know, Doc H, don't shave your head, man, because you have a weird shape. Your head's not shaped right. So keep that hair, man. Keep your hair. It's not shaped right.
That's because of the cone, because I'm connected to the higher spirits. I'm constantly channeling.
Higher and deeper.
That was good. I like that
one. Connected to Stovokor. Remember that.
That was good, man. That was real good. I like that. That was really good. I can't even come back on that one. That was good.
Yeah, or I'm blonde, so I can actually use Valhalla. It's my connection to Valhalla. All right, everyone. See you next week. And Saturday, we're starting the inner power little journey together. If people want to join us, inner power. All right. See you all soon.
Thank you.
Just check in. God bless everybody. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.